I want to make just two comments, and Michael, do you have, no, please, Michael. No, go ahead.
I had a politically related question, and that is, in the face of two trends that have been mentioned here, one, a declining rate of population growth, at the same time, the increase in population we see going fundamentally to the cities, and really in America, to the coast, what do you see as the political implications, particularly at the federal level, of allocation of resources, particularly around infrastructure, that it seems to me it's going to be a bigger and bigger issue over the next 10, 15, 20 years?
It's hard to imagine being a bigger issue than it already is, because the conflict, and I think it's part of the reason you have such a miserable environment in Washington, right, and why it's so partisan, is that between the two coasts and the third coast, if we can give Chicago their share of getting that infrastructure money, a lot of the other cities, even the ones that are growing in the Sun Belt, feel that they're not getting their fair share. And I think the allocation, as a country, we need to get a lot better at having a political process to resolve that issue, because, again, China, India, they don't have the difficulties that come with freedom that we do.
Last two points. Thank you.
Can I ask one here?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I don't mind.
My name is Gary Burkus. I'm an architect. I'm from Santa Barbara. When does a small town get too large? We elect all of our politicians based on no votes. They're cutting the heights of buildings down to 40 feet. They're telling us they want 1% growth or less. The town is beginning to decay in places and become a museum. When does a small town get too large?
Wow. You know, that's the same. It's a problem all along the coast of California. You know, from San Francisco down into San Jose, all those towns don't want anything over three stories. And I think that is a true mistake. I come from New England, and we have towns where the main buildings are four, five, six, seven stories, and they're wonderful buildings. They add a lot to the street. I think that that those are NIMBYs, and I think if you work on creating places in those cities that really define what they are, and then have people realize they need activity to support them, which means density. So you don't start with the building heights, you start with the kind of places you're trying to create, those central squares, which need activity on them. And then I think you back into increasing activity, which increases density, which gets you away from what I think is a horrendous situation.
Well, when you reduce height, you have urban sprawl. Sprawl is bad for, in many ways, in terms of use of land and in terms of the energy. You know, the Bryant's Park that we've been talking about, I'm sure a lot of you are from New York, but one of the great advantages to Bryant Park, beside the use of it, which is fantastic, is the real estate values jump dramatically around that entire square.
An additional $20 million to the bottom line of the property owners around that square.
So it's good business to have good places where people
The same
come
is true in Millennium Park. Yeah. The residential housing that's gone, you know, what was happening is the loop had moved further west, and we were having decaying buildings along Millennium Park. Those buildings have been converted to residential at phenomenal values. It's just been an extraordinary creation of value for the city as well, and those people live there and therefore then continue to, you know, make the park thrive.
Thank you. I want to first thank all of you for coming. You've been a terrific audience and participating. And I want to thank the mayor of Denver, who was fantastic. It's so nice to come. Penny Pritzker, who I know is going to get that 10th use into Millennium, and Fred with a great presentation. Thank you all. We have a deal. We're going to do it. Right.